Are you acting as the owner of your life? The entrepreneurial mindset can help you create your own personal economy so you don't worry about the future. Personal finance can help you find financial freedom in the long run. Personal entrepreneurship can help you get there faster. Today's guests on the Faith and Finance podcast are going to be talking about this very thing. Let's dive in. Imagine a life where you can spend according to your values, give generously, love richly, live intentionally, and handle your finances biblically. That's what the Faith and Finance podcast is all about. I'm your host, Adrienne Hildebrand, and on the Faith and Finance podcast, we discuss personal finance, intentional living, and value-aligned spending by sharing inspiring stories and practical topics to help you steward your finances in a way that honors God and builds your faith and wealth for the present and generations to come. Let's get started. Hey, hey, friends. I'm so excited that you're here today. Welcome back or welcome to the Faith and Finance podcast. I want to introduce you to today's episode guest. We're talking with George and Mary Lynn Krueger, George also known as the Professor, and they are the owners of The Big with two G's Success. So the world is moving so fast that sometimes it feels like you have no control over the impacts of constant change. They have found that thinking like an entrepreneur empowers people to take control and stay true to their values. Traditionally, people associate entrepreneurship with business. They say it's personal. Because when it comes to your life and your family, you aren't the CFO or the CMO or even the CEO. You're the owner. Your household is like a small business. Your life is an enterprise. You guide it where you want to go. They feel called to help people tap into this entrepreneurial mindset because entrepreneurs add value to the lives of others and in doing so, create value for themselves. The entrepreneurial mindset can help you create your own personal economy so you don't worry about the future. That's why at Big Success, their mission is to help people have more money so they can do more good. Through their coaching services and e-learning programs, they help their clients clearly see the best path forward for personal, professional, financial, and business success while changing the world for good. George is a self-proclaimed serial business owner who also teaches entrepreneurial finance at the University of Illinois. Mary Lynn is a veteran radio show host turned entrepreneur. Not only are George and Mary Lynn business partners, but they are also married. So I loved this conversation with George and Mary Lynn Krueger. Before we get started, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Hey, welcome to the Faith and Finance podcast.
Hey, thank you, Adrienne. It's great to be with you.
Thank you for having us.
I am so excited to have you guys here. Just talking to you beforehand, I can tell you're sweet people and you have awesome spirits. And I'm so excited to share your voices, I guess, but share you guys.
Well, that's fine. We're going to share you too. So
opportunity sharing. That's right.
I love it. So I'm excited that you guys are here. Please tell the audience about yourselves and a little bit of your money story.
Well, my name is George Krueger. I teach entrepreneurial finance. I've done it for 25 years now, and I've also owned my own businesses for more than that.
And we call him the Professor. So we have our own podcast too. It's the Big Success Show with the Professor and Mary Lynn. So if you happen to watch the Gilligan Island show, you know, we're dating ourselves here, but if you happen to watch that, that's the reason for the name. It's kind of a
Professor
funny.
And Mary Lynn were two of the characters.
Right. Marianne. But anyway, so, and I worked in radio broadcasting for a number of years and, you know, we got married. We love each other. We thought, hey, maybe we can put our talents together and create a business. And so that's how Big Success was formed.
So I'm the boss, but Mary Lynn makes all the decisions. That's just that simple.
And when it comes to our money philosophy, one thing that we like to do, and this is kind of in this entrepreneurial spirit, because we're really into entrepreneurship and how it empowers people, but running your household like a business. I know that may sound kind of weird, but it's actually a really good thing to do. And that's how our money story evolved into helping other people.
Because if you think about it, you know, we were told sometimes in personal finance that you're the CFO, Well, your role.
What does that mean for?
I'm sorry, Chief Financial Officer.
Thank you.
But your role in the family finances probably goes beyond that. You're actually more closer to the CEO, the Chief Executive Officer, the person running the whole thing. But even that doesn't describe what you really are. You really are the person that CEO answers to, the owner. You're the owner of the household. Or, you know, if you're married, you're the partner in the household. And thinking about it that way can drastically change how you run your personal finances.
The reason that we feel that it's so important to think about your finances that way is that it's empowering. Because I don't know about you, Adrian, but I mean, things are changing all the time. And sometimes you can feel like you have no control over the things that are coming at you. But by looking at your expenses this way, by looking at your whole life like an entrepreneur, then now you're the one who's in charge. You're strategizing to move with the shifts and the ebbs and flows. And so I feel like that's empowering. And how, you know, obviously with faith, then now you aren't subject to, you know, something coming at you and then, oh, I don't know what to do and I'm hopeless. I can't figure it out. No, you can.
Yes, I love that thought too, which is why I'm so excited to talk to you guys today and really dig deeper on that specifically. So you kind of laid it out for us, but dive a little bit deeper into how you and George have made, like what was the even start of that? You know what I mean? Like, how do you come up with this idea? I was telling you beforehand that I really agree with everything that you're saying. I just never was able to put a name to it. So how did you guys kind of put, like, how did that even happen? I'm always interested in like the mind, I guess the mind shift of things like that happens like that. So can you dig a little bit into that and how you guys decided that this was something you wanted to teach about, or like, how did that manifest itself into your own life?
Well, I'll say that we think alike, Adrian, because, you know, your audience, you know, you're about helping people do good things to help the world, honor God, leave a legacy for generations to come. And that's what our mission is too, guided by the same, thing, by God. And so our mission is to help good people have more money so that they can do more good.
And I think as someone who has been an entrepreneur and been exposed to the entrepreneurial field, you know, you got to study it so you can teach it. Along the way, I just started noticing that, you know, a household is much like a small business. I think it really kind of started coming to me as I look at employees and it's like, wow, if I look at my company and if I've got 20 employees, I really have 20 households that are kind of part of this business, you know, and each one of those businesses depends upon the bigger business. And so the point was that by stepping back and saying, okay, what's the best model for how to run our personal finances? We came up with the idea of just running them like a small business. And because of that, life gets much simpler because, you know, we're able to say, okay, let's define our roles. Mary Lynn and I need to define our roles. You know, Mary Lynn, what are her strengths? What are my strengths? What are her weaknesses? What are my weaknesses? We need to make sure that we have a common vision and that we have the same values that are necessary as we approach money. You know, what are we trying to do with this money? What's its ultimate purpose? You know, as we become more faithful over time, we move from ownership to stewardship. And that is really the key. You know, just it makes the decision-making so much richer when all of your finances are basically being conduits to help God's work.
So tactically, how can we apply that to our lives? I know you said looking at things from an entrepreneurial mindset, but tactically, what's one way that we, if we're single or married or whatever that looks like in our life, what's something we can do to start actually looking at our lives in that way?
I think the best place to start is by looking at what's happening right now. Where are you right now? And specifically look at, you know, and I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it anyway, budget. Mm-hmm. Now, really, you don't have to budget, just track. Track, in other words, just write down, here's what we spent last month, okay? And here's what we spent it on. And now take a look at that list and say, okay, does that show my true priorities? Am I looking at money going out the door here? Is that showing my true priorities? Or is there an area where maybe I could have cut back somewhere and put that money into something different and I would feel a lot more fulfilled? And so I think that's the best starting point, is actually getting a handle on where the money flows right now. And once you kind of understand that, now we can move towards, okay, here's how I want my financial picture to look.
I'm just like taking in what you just said. I'm like really thinking about that, because that's good. That's such a good way
to think about things and to put things in perspective. And it's something I talk a lot about too, in a different, not really in a different way, just a different word. Mm-hmm. Truly looking at what you're spending and figuring out how your spending can align with your values and what you really want in your life, or what you maybe don't want even, right? So mm-hmm. that's all a process of doing that. So this is a little backtracking, just a little bit, but George, I know that, well, you two together have been serial entrepreneurs a little bit. Can you talk a little bit about some of the businesses that you've done? And this is kind of selfishly asking because I find it interesting, but I know that the audience will too. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Let's see. I've got to scratch my head and remember. So before Big Success, right before I was involved, we had a company that ultimately ended up, if you could go floor to ceiling, wall to wall, and actually even the edge of the property, we helped homeowners and small facility owners take care of their places. And so that involved a plumbing company, heating and cooling company, a carpet cleaning business, home repair business. Pretty much we encouraged our customers, just if you've got something you want done in your house, just give us a call. And that was exciting. And actually, that's where I think I got my spark for Big Success, because I realized I'm talking with plumbers. They're pretty hardcore people, right? I mean, they're tough guys, right? And we were talking about stuff in our staff meetings, and I had a plumber come up to me one day and he said, I want you to know that the things we talk about in staff meeting aren't just helping me be a better employee, they're helping me be a better husband and a better father. Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of, I think, where my motivation for Big Success came, was to get to do more of that, because I felt like that was really where I was making an impact. But before that, I don't know if you ever heard of Ben Franklin, but there were Ben Franklin stores a long time ago.
Kind of like the dollar stores of...
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember those, I think.
Maybe a little bit more upscale than the dollar stores, but my hometown... When I was 22, 23 years old, my hometown had two stores like that. And within a period of 2 weeks right after Christmas, they both announced they were closing. And so I was on the phone the next day calling Ben Franklin saying, hey, I'd like to look at the franchise for this town. And we ended up being like the first of five callers that day. And so we got the franchise. And so that was my first investment into, like, my first significant investment. But before that, I've owned a fertilizer dealer. I can't even remember all the businesses I've owned over time, but distributor of like import, export type goods. And so just a whole bunch of stuff, but I kind of along the way got centered on this idea of helping homeowners and property owners, and then actually investing in real estate on the side, since I had guys who could maintain it.
That's amazing. I actually love that you've had so many businesses, because I think that's something that is actually pretty common for entrepreneurial mm-hmm. spirits. We are always iterating and figuring out what works and always thinking about business ideas. So from your perspective, Marilyn, how did that feel being married to kind of an entrepreneurial spirit, I guess? Or was it always you were kind of along for the ride, or are you also much the same way?
I guess my story kind of came along a little bit differently. I get the work that I did in radio as a broadcaster is entrepreneurial in the sense that, you know, you're always trying to come up with great ideas. You're always trying to come up with ways to highlight your listeners and, you know, make them be the stars, come up with fun ways to be able to connect with them. I just absolutely loved that. And I kind of got to a point in my career where I was feeling some inspirational dissatisfaction. And George was a friend of mine, and I would also often bump ideas off of him, advice. We were friends before we became husband and wife. I always found that valuable because he would make me think a little bit bigger. I guess I just started when I was feeling this sense of, you know, just that I wasn't really able to dig into my creativity and continue to grow with where I was at. I thought, you know what? I can think like an entrepreneur. I don't have to stay stuck. You know, I have options. I took that leap. Would I have taken that leap without George? I don't know. Probably not. But I think that's okay. As an entrepreneur, I guess one could say I think like an entrepreneur, and I was thinking like one before I even knew I was, because entrepreneurs try to minimize risk. So by having somebody who had some business acumen, who knew what to do, who could help me kind of grow in this new role, I felt that that was a risk worth taking. And so that's why I decided to take the leap and start to build my own brand, something that, you know, I mean, I could sit around and not be happy at work because I couldn't create the brand that I wanted to create, or I could come over here, lose some security that I had, and create the brand that I've always wanted, because I'm the boss. So how cool is that? I'm not saying that it's easy. It's been very hard. Adrian, you know, you're a podcaster. Just because you put up a podcast doesn't mean that, you know, you get a bazillion downloads right away. It takes time to build an audience. It takes time to get people to know what you're doing. And back when we first started, people were like, what's a podcast? Nobody knew. Now it's all trendy. Everybody has one practically, but
seems like it.
But Adrian, one thing that I did before I took the leap, and I think this is helpful whether you are going to leap from job to entrepreneurship or job to job, was, and George actually suggested this, I wrote myself a letter, because when you first make the jump, it's scary. And then you suddenly start looking back at what you had and you start romanticizing that because you're over here in scary land with all this new stuff and new feelings and new things and new fears. But that letter was very helpful because it reminded me why I made the moves that I made, helped to keep me focused, because looking back is just wasted energy. You got to stay focused on where you're at now, why you came here, where you're going, and just forge ahead.
That could be applicable really to anything. So for instance, if you're trying to get out of debt, or if you would have a dream of buying a home someday, or if you have a dream of maybe staying home with your children or whatever that looks like, writing a letter to yourself, your future self, and saying, I think I heard on the Bigger Pockets podcast once, I think it was Brandon, he was talking about how he wrote an article to himself about like what a newspaper would say about his business or himself or his family in the future. And I think that's such a, writing a letter to yourself saying, hey, this is me. This is the goal that you reached when you're, you know, or whatever that looks like for you. I think that's so applicable to all of us. So I really like that. That's a really good way to put things. So your business now, the big success, tell me about people that come to you, your clients, how do they find you? What do you teach them? Tell me all about big success now.
We just love helping people feel empowered. I feel like a lot of people in life, I've run into a lot of people. Now, there's a lot of people who are wonderful and they do have hope, but sometimes we get dejected. There are people who want to keep you in a specific space because that works good for them. Life is too short to not really fulfill your calling. And so the whole point of big success has always been to help people feel empowered to go after what they know that they are called to do. As I said before, our mission is to help people have more money so they can do more good, you know, because good people are going to do good things with the money. People who have that entrepreneurial mindset, those are folks who are looking to find solutions to problems and help uplift other people. So these are the people that we just absolutely adore. And that's one thing that we knew when we started the company. These are the types of people we wanted to serve. And generally, you find those types of people in small businesses, entrepreneurs who have a dream, organizations that serve small businesses.
We look at big success. There's a reason for the second G, B-I-G-G success. It's believe in implementing goal getting, giving back success. And so that, and now we sometimes even talk about it as God glorifying success, which includes giving back. It's a bigger, once again, that's the evolution of big success. But we're just looking for big goal getters. We're looking for people who want to make a difference in the world, and we want to make a difference. We want to help them make a bigger difference. I think our original description for our target market was goal getting, positive thinking, moving forward, fun loving people, you know, something like that was kind of our original avatar. And that really hasn't changed much. I mean, we love people, working with people. Our clients are just amazing. And, you know, they want to accomplish so much, and they are accomplishing so much, and we get to be along with the ride.
Right. And we do coaching and consulting. That's the kind of work that we do. And through our blog, through our podcast, through our networking, those are the ways that we find people with the same values.
And we also have something we call the Financial Freedom Tool, which actually does a little bit of what I said earlier, actually goes beyond that, where it's kind of helping you figure out where your money's going. But then what it does is it shows you how the money you're spending, you can look at that and say, okay, are my priorities in line? But you can also look at it. And while, you know, you shouldn't necessarily compare yourself to your neighbor, to benchmark yourself against your neighbor is a very helpful activity. So we'll let you see how people in the same income range that you're in are actually spending their money, so you can quickly see kind of, we call it leaky faucets. You can quickly see where your money's leaking out.
you guys are just great. I love what you're doing. And you can totally hear your heart through what you're saying. In fact, I might have to be your client. So no, that's awesome what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
So, well, and that the tool that George was just talking about, see, now that's something that businesses have access to. And so then George was able to make a tool like that for individuals so that individuals can have that same opportunity to be able to look at their finances holistically and then make strategic decisions. So again, thinking like an entrepreneur, your household finances like a business, and help it run as efficiently as possible.
That's such a great, all of it. It's just such a great thought and not a thought, an application of something that we can do. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And that's what you guys are obviously trying to do. So I know that you said personal finance can help you find financial freedom in the long run, but personal entrepreneurship can help you get there faster. But you emphasized in what you sent me that it is not a get rich quick scheme. So can you talk a little bit about what that means? And then of course, obviously that it's not a get rich quick scheme.
What we teach in college, we typically are talking to venture capital backed high tech companies. And the reality is most of us are never going to start those kind of companies. So what is now starting to grow in the literature is you're starting to see more information about people looking at regular entrepreneurs and how they actually plan. So for regular entrepreneurs, there are two really important R words. The first one is resources. Entrepreneurs may not have a lot of resources, but boy, are they resourceful. Mm. I mean, they can find ways, entrepreneurs find ways of stretching that dollar. You know, I look at my mom and dad, my dad was a spender. I mean, his big thing was got to keep the economy, got to keep the money circulating, keep the economy going. And mom was like, you know, if you gave her a dollar, she was going to get $1.20 out of it. I mean, she was really, really good with her money. And entrepreneurs are that same way. My dad was an entrepreneur in one way, but my mom was an entrepreneur in the other, and that she was really resourceful. The next thing is Mary Lynn brought this up a few minutes ago. Just most people think entrepreneurs are these huge risk takers. The reality is just the opposite. Entrepreneurs are amazing risk managers. Entrepreneurs, their key thing is the ability to minimize risk and bring it down to a level where it's acceptable, or you might say affordable. When we get it down to that affordable level, now we can move ahead. Now we can try. It's not a leap, it's a dip. We dip our toe in. And we find out if something's going to work. And, you know, it's that attitude of, I will only move forward if the risk is low enough. So, you know, I was given an example like this. Like you say, okay, I can afford to risk $1,000 on this business. Okay, then you risk $1,000. If you lose it, you've learned something. Take that $1,000 and say, okay, that was my education. Now I'm going to save up another $1,000 so I can try something else again. Or maybe you can't do $1,000. Can you do $500? Could you do $100? Could you do 50? If you can only do 5, what can you do with 5? You know, there's a lot of people making money on Fiverr, for example. Could you just get listed on there for free and do something, right? Make $5. But the point is, risk what you can afford. Maybe money's not the issue. Maybe the business only involves time. Can you afford 10 hours a week? No? Okay, how about 5? What can you do? What kind of business could you start with five hours a week? And when you start seeing this, what entrepreneurs do is they take those opportunities. And so, you know, we're all about passion and everything. That's great. But entrepreneurs are really opportunistic. They're strategic. And so what they'll do is they're going to say, okay, look, I can start this little thing over here. And then that's going to give me resources to do the thing that I want to do more, which is over here, but it's going to cost me more. But instead of going into debt or having to go out and look for other people's capital, I'm going to fund it myself. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to start a business today that's going to start giving me some money.
Oh, just all of this is so good, you guys. Have you read the book Originals by Adam Grant?
Have not.
Okay. So he's an organizational psychologist. I don't know if you've heard of him, but his book Originals talks about the concept you just said, where entrepreneurs, the most successful ones, are not the ones who just take big risks. They're the ones who kind of dip their toe in. They make calculated risks, as I always like to say. They are making.
That's exactly it.
Yes. And yep. I think that that is something that is applicable to our lives in general, right? Regardless whether or not if people want to be entrepreneurs someday or whatever, but when you have the upper hand, in maybe your job or in your personal finances, as we've been talking about, you are able to say, you know what? We're actually able to quote risk $1,000 a month or $500 a month to put toward maybe a goal that we have or something, or maybe to pay off our car, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. So regardless of just even in business, we can do that in our own just everyday lives. We can learn to start thinking, well, how can I risk this? And it we say risk, but really is it, it's not a gamble. It's a risk. Mm-hmm. I think people confuse the two words, right? They think
yes.
That sometimes, you know, and even my husband, I have like really big dreams of where I want to take Faith in Finance. And I have other kind of business ideas that are sort of social enterprise thinking. And I just like have all these ideas. And sometimes to my husband, and he's kind of entrepreneurial too, but sometimes he's like, Adrian, like, you know, chill out a second. I'm like, I know. But you know, we're getting our, you know, I just always am thinking about the calculated risk. How can I kind of dip my toe into this? How can I think outside of the box mm-hmm. in a way like entrepreneurs do? We kind of we're resourceful. We are scrappy. My people at work tell me, Adrian, you don't always know the answer, but you know a guy that knows the answer. Like it's always, I'm just resourceful. I can find answers, right? Then I think that we all have those skills that we can look at in our lives. But I really appreciate you saying that because it's something that's applicable to our lives in general. And I love that idea.
Well, and to give you kind of, in a way, this is a high level example of this, but, and I cannot remember her name, but she started a company called Bare Naked Natural Foods. That's B-A-R-E or B-E-A-R, I think. Bare Naked Natural Foods. And it's like a granola product, right? So what are your choices? You're going to start a food company. You're going to have to go out. You're going to have to rent real estate. You're going to have to probably personally guarantee that lease. You're going to have to buy, I mean, she was talking about buying $150,000 or more of kitchen equipment. You got to make all these commitments. And by the time you get started, you're deep in debt. What did she do? She said, you know what? There's this bakery down the street and they're closed overnight. I could just go make my product at their place. So I'll just get a lease from them on a day-to-day basis, basically. And I'll make my stuff when they're not there. And then during the day, when they're there, I'll just deliver it. And that's exactly what she did. So she took a startup cost that was going to be $150 plus like a 3-year lease plus a personal guarantee, and got it down to a monthly rent. And now she's able to just test the market and see if it works. And that's the key today. And I got to tell you, Adrian, I mean, it is so much easier today. There's so many opportunities all around us, and the internet, all these things, it just makes it so much easier to communicate, to market your business, and to get something started.
100% agree with that. I was just on another episode recording earlier today, and I said, we live in the land of opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, and there are legitimate issues, like poverty is a problem. Mm-hmm. And then the mindset around poverty is an issue. And it really angers me because people feel like they can't get out of that because of whatever reason. And it angers me in a way that makes me sad. Like I'm not angry at those people. I'm just angry that the belief of things, and we live in the most incredible country where if you want something, you can get it.
Yep.
You can figure out a way to do that. Mm-hmm. And like you said, with Bare Naked, is that what you said? It was
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're figuring out different ways to do things. Like how can I do this without maybe a lot of money? I have an idea ruminating in my mind that I won't mention publicly right now, but I'm like, how can I do that without having an actual location? Right. I'm just, mm-hmm. it's about thinking outside of the box in whatever way that is. And a lot of times what we think are just things holding us back are just excuses. There's always a way, maybe not in a full scope way that people want to do something right now, right this second, but there's always a way to get one step closer to that, right? And thinking about things in those terms. And so I really appreciate that because that can go for more than our finances or more than our business, mm-hmm. more than our careers. That can go for our lives, right?
Yes.
Just thinking about ways in which we can take one small step forward. Absolutely. In whatever it is that we're trying to do. So
you're touching on some things, Adrian, about how, you know, we were saying that personal entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. how that helps get you there faster. Just some of the things that you're talking about. There's three things in particular that really do help. And one is, and you've already talked about that, thinking about personal entrepreneurship is holistic. So looking at your life, at your finances, your personal finances holistically.
And this is really critical. I teach my students this when thinking about their business, that every dollar a business spends should go to increase advertising. Well, if we once again think about our homes, our households as small businesses, every dollar we spend should be considered an investment. and it's an investment in your present and future happiness. And if it's not going to deliver enough, then you shouldn't make that investment. And this is what I think where people get caught up. You know, we get so caught up in what are we getting right now, but we forget to say, okay, what are we getting down the road? Or the one we don't talk about is we spend so much of our energy and effort on what's down the road that we just, life passes us by and we don't enjoy it now. We need to do both. I mean, God's given us so much richness and so much beauty and so much, I mean, man, get out and see the world, you know what I mean? And that doesn't necessarily mean you got to go halfway around the world. I mean, just going around the block, you know, what's around the block that you're not noticing every day? Just understanding that, you know, every dollar I'm spending is an investment in my happiness.
And then the third way to, you know, have that entrepreneurial, to think like with personal entrepreneurship is that entrepreneurs focus on growing their income. I mean, yes, we do need to reduce debt, but, you know, there's only so much that you can cut.
Yeah, because the thing is, if you cut too much, it starts cutting into that happiness, right? And so that's why ultimately, in the short run, we can be better off by cutting costs. But in the long run, we have to understand that our happiness actually is going to be dependent upon increasing that income over time.
So tactically, give me an example maybe of specifically number two, all expenditures are investments. Can you talk a little bit, maybe as something personally in your own lives that you have done to make an expenditure an investment? Maybe it doesn't have to be big, or it can be big, just anything in your own personal lives that you've done so that we can really make that real to us and the listeners today.
Well, I tell you, we have a very current one because we just found out, actually Sunday or Saturday, I guess, we were coming home from the grocery store. First, we thought we'd had a flat tire. It turns out all the tires look fine. And so then it's like, okay, there must be a blockage up here because, man, is it making a noise as we try to drive. And then it was like we couldn't put it in reverse or forward. So today we just got the car towed to the repair shop and we got the good news. We need a $3,500 transmission. Now the car is not worth $3,500. Well, it's worth $3,500, but it's not worth enough, you know, and more than that, that we're going to make that investment. But the point is, okay, so now we have a choice. Do we go out and we buy something that's really expensive that you know, we have to borrow money for, or do we just pay cash, or do we buy something even less and, you know, just finance it maybe for a small, depending on whether or not you have cash. The point is, do I want to invest in, let's say, a $50,000 car, or would I rather invest in a $25,000 car and take that other $25,000 and use it for something that I really want? This is back to the priorities. What do we want to, you know, how do we want to spend our money?
Or not necessarily use it for something you really want. Just know that you've got that money tucked back for another emergency that may come along.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, Mary Lynn says it so much more eloquently.
Well, that's just me. I'm kind of like the security person when it comes to finances. So that's a great example right there, Nate. So the two of us are in agreement with how we want to proceed. That's a great example of we need to buy something. It's an investment. How do we want to invest our money into this particular product?
Yes. And just having that conversation between you two and really thinking about it before. So again, this is where thinking of all the options comes in, that entrepreneurial mindset. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, especially in this country, the reality is a lot of people, their car breaks down and they're like, oh, stink, I have to go finance a new car. That's just the reality of it in this country. And that's for another discussion for another day. That's kind of the first thing that people think of, right? We think, oh, well, my car broke down. I got to go finance a new car. I can't afford a new car right now. Blah, 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 blah. Whereas you guys, you gave three different options just then. You said we could go pay cash for this car. Mm-hmm. We can replace, fix what's wrong with our car now, or we could go finance a car. So just thinking, not always thinking there's just one way to do things. That really helps you to look at things as an investment. I think everything, you can do that with something small or something big, or maybe an educational thing that someone's, I know you guys have, like it says you have e-learning training. So if someone today is hearing you and they're like, wow, I really want to learn from these people, I really like them or whatever, they are going to have that same conversation with themselves. Can I invest in furthering my self-education, furthering what I feel like the call of God is on my life? Or do I save up and maybe get it in a little while? You know, having all these different thinkings, it's the same thing in our lives. And then as you said, when you start kind of putting that into practice and doing that all the time, you realize that it becomes an easier exercise, right? You really get clear about what your values are. You really get clear about what it is you want to spend money on. I personally, I'll just say this, I've spent a ton of money on personal education this year, just learning from people who know more than me so that I don't have to recreate the wheel, or just learning because I'm interested in whatever. But that was something I was able to do because we got rid of all our debt. And I was able to say, you know what, I'd rather spend my money on XYZ than maybe go out to eat these three times a week or whatever it is, you know? So just thinking about things like that.
You hit on this too, Adrian. I think that one of the things that's been really rewarding for us is, I think as our faith grew, it's interesting how much more robust the decision-making becomes, because when you're thinking about the car, the other element is, you know, I could give some of this money away instead of putting it into a car, or I could pay to educate myself more, and then that would give me a higher income. Maybe I get a certification, whatever it may be. Point is, now I have that money and I can use that money as, you know, I can tithe more. There's just so many things that we have found as you start bringing God into your decisions and just saying, okay, how do I have faith? How do I show faith in my finances? And I think that's the real part that's just, it's, I mean, I can't describe the richness of that reward. You know what I mean? It's worth more money than we could ever conceive, just because when you're approaching it and you know that ultimately you're spending it in line with God's will for your life and God's wishes for your life and how you may impact others. It's an experience that, as I say to some friends, it's like, look, if this whole thing is wrong, my quality of life is so much better. I would want to live this way anyway.
Absolutely. I love that, what you just said. My quality of life is good, even if I'm, you know, if at what the end of my life I'm like, oh, you know, but yeah. you're thinking about, you're making those good decisions now and thinking about the present and the long term. Is there anything I've missed that maybe you guys want to touch on more today?
I'll just add one thing based on something we talked a little bit earlier. We were talking about poverty. And, you know, I guess the B in big, believing. And I think it's so important for people to understand that it starts with hope. You got to find ways of having hope. If you don't have hope, you can't get to belief, right? And so I think for those people who just feel so down, just understand that there have been other people just in the same position as you and actually worse. There's no question about it. There's somebody has been in a worse situation and they have found their way out of it. So there is hope for you. Hope turns into belief, and belief turns into trust. And once you got that trust going, now you're ready to move forward to big success.
I 100% agree with that. And even the Bible really supports what you've just said. Mm-hmm. Even there's a scripture in the Bible that says, and I'm going to butcher it a little bit, but it's essentially the idea, not the idea. It says that God calls things as though they were, like not as they are, but he calls them as though they already were. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture too that says, even before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. Yeah. And so when we think about truly what is possible, we say literally nothing is impossible for God. He saw me before, obviously I was even formed in my mother's womb, you know, and believing that God can do something with our lives and God can take us out of situations and God can help our mind. God has really worked a lot on me, on my mind and my own limiting beliefs kind of this year, and just having faith, and not faith that says whatever I want is going to happen, but faith that says, you know what, Lord, you know the desires of my heart. You see my heart. And I am following your will. And you said that anything I ask in your name, that I would receive it. Yep. And that knock and it shall be opened unto you, right? Seek and you shall find. And if we're seeking the Lord and we're trying to really do his work and just actively saying, okay, Lord, I trust you if something doesn't happen. I trust you if you open a door, but I also trust you if you close a door. But I'm still going to hold out in faith that, Lord, you know the desires of my heart. You see me. You know that I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to, you know, whatever that looks like in everyone's life that's listening. And I think that is also what a lot of what you guys have been saying today in so many words. Like, I'm not doing justice into what all the goodness you said today. Just
you're doing great. That's why we're letting you be the closer.
Keep going.
You guys are like, this has really been awesome. Just thinking about what's possible in our lives and having that that's what entrepreneurs do. That is part of an entrepreneurial mindset of we always think about, we're opportunistic. We always think about what's possible.
Yep.
What is possible? When we think about it, like obviously our computers, but things as simple as like pre-baked sliced bread was not a thing. Like, you know what I mean? When we start thinking about things like that, like it's not even big things, like screws. I have like these screws sitting right next to me right now that my husband was building something with yesterday. Somebody came up with this idea.
Yes.
That's what somebody somewhere came up with this idea. And the fact that also I'll say one more thing. There's also scriptures that, and I'm going to mess this one up too, and I can't even remember where it's at, but essentially that it's actually in the same vein, in the same chapter where it says no weapon formed against me will prosper. Mm-hmm. It talks about, I think it's the blacksmith is what it's talking about. Mm-hmm. And that God even made him, the people that do wrong against you and stuff like that, that God made the, and I'm butchering it. I'm going to have to quote the scripture in the show notes or something, but essentially that our, you know, our minds and our talent and our intellect comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Now people can twist that and make that wrong, of course, because we're people and we have free will. People that have created anything incredible in this life, something as simple as, like I said, the screw sitting right next to me, God somehow inspired that person to do that. It was because they had that entrepreneurial mindset. They were thinking about things differently. They saw a problem and they wanted to solve it, and they didn't think about what couldn't be. They thought about what could be. And if it didn't happen, okay, then we just reiterate and do it again. So I love that that's what you guys are doing with your business and teaching people to have that mindset about, of course, their businesses and that they want to do good in the world. Mm-hmm. But even as applicable to just my audience today, for those people who aren't interested in that, just having that in your own personal life and in your personal finances. So,
well, and I just quickly interject one thing, Adrian, and that was we started because this part about, you know, being for good people, to helping them have more money to do more good, that's actually fairly recent for us. But it was just when we sat down and really just think about what's our why do we do this, you know, the best thing we can do is just help good people have more money, because then they're going to naturally do more good. And it's just like, wow, that's such a simple idea, and yet for us it's so motivating, and it just keeps us driving forward every single day to find, you know, to be able to help more people to do more good and make a bigger impact.
I love all of this so much. I could talk to you guys for hours, but I won't. So tell everyone where they can find you at. And of course, I'll link everything in the show notes, but tell everyone where they can find you at and find your podcast and everything.
Super easy to find. Just, you can Google Big Success, but we're at biggsuccess.com. You can sign up for our newsletter if you want, listen to our podcast, leave us a message and say hi. Adrian, it's been an absolute joy to talk to you. I mean, you're just so uplifting, and we just absolutely, as people who love entrepreneurs, we absolutely love what you're doing to help people also have that entrepreneurial spirit, to be able to tap into their faith, into their talents, to be able to go after their calling. You're a wonderful resource for folks. And thank you for the time that you put in to put together your podcast and all of the helpful materials that you have for people.
Because we know it isn't all easy.
Nope.
No, especially and I mentioned this earlier, I just have a hard time sometimes prioritizing things. I think we all are like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that keeps me going is this truly, I feel, is a ministry. And it's not something I ever thought for myself that it would be. But looking back, I'm like, God, you kind of have paved the way for this. And so I have to recognize that. And I'm also just trying to figure things out. We don't all have it figured out, right? So we have to just work on things. Nobody, how many times was it that Benjamin Franklin failed to make the light bulb? I mean, it was like hundreds of times or something.
Yes, I think it was Thomas Edison. Not,
oh my gosh, I know. I was like, wait, not. I'm thinking of Ben Franklin earlier from the thing you said earlier.
Yes, we love Ben Franklin, and he's the lightning bolt, right?
Yes. Wow, the school system has failed. No, I'm just kidding. It's been a long time.
Over time.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being on this show. This was great.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Faith and Finance podcast today. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. For all the episode show links, you can visit faithandfinance.org/blog or look in the podcast app where you're listening. If you're enjoying the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. Let me know what you're thinking. I love hearing from you guys. You can also follow me on Instagram @faith.in.finance. Keep the faith, my friend.